Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Before you're seated, we're going to try one more time. AJ McGill, are you in the house? There he is. AJ received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. AJ's here because he's part of the daycare. Praise God. Amen. Imagine that. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Praise God. Lift up your hands again. God can talk to you right now. You can start speaking in tongues even if you have never done it before in the power of the Holy Ghost right now if you will just let God have his way. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You do not have to leave the same way you came. I'm intimidated by the presence of God right now. Praise God. James 1:22. Oh, hallelujah. I mean that. I'm not kidding. The power of God is here. God is a miracle-working God. Our God is a healer. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a life-changer. Praise God. He wants to do something for someone before they leave here tonight, and it could be you if you will let him. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. His natural face in a mirror. Anybody here look in the mirror today? I sure hope you did. Come on, raise your hand. Everybody here look in the mirror today. If you didn't, you did all right without it. His natural face. That word means his original face or his Genesis face. Now think about that for a minute. When you got up this morning, what was your original face looking like? I sometimes get a charge out of that just to go in to the bathroom in the morning just to look and see what my face is going to look like. Amen. That's the face without improvements. That's the hair before the stuff goes in. Yeah, if you don't have any hair, well, it's before you've buffed or whatever you do. I don't know. I didn't start it. Amen. Think of how you looked this morning when you got up. Now maybe, just maybe, you are among the very few in the whole wide world who don't have to do anything. You don't, yeah. Brother Ruben, praise God. You don't have to wash up. Sorry, brother, it's coming. You just wait, it's coming. You don't have to shave. You don't have to comb your hair. You don't have to brush your teeth. Now, the only people I've met like that are people who only think they don't need to comb their hair or brush their teeth. It's right here in the notes, brother. Sorry. But that's the image that James has given us. Think of someone who just looks in the mirror. And the word there is gazes in the mirror. We all like to hear the sound of our own voice. We all like to hear the sound of our own name. And for some reason, we all like the looks of our face in the mirror. But if you don't do anything about it, then you are either totally out of touch with the world around you, or you are completely deceived. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about the word in your face. Amen. Turn to John 4, 6. We're going to read John 4, 6 through 10. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," who's the gift of God? Praise God, somebody knows Jesus. If you knew the gift of God, he's not, at this point, he's not talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about himself present there. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Praise God. Of course, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, because that's how we receive the living water. But he's trying to bring her attention to the fact that he is who he is. Consider that for a moment. She's sitting there with the creator of the universe. Now just think, if Jesus came into this service tonight, how many of us would recognize him? I don't know. I can't say. The real question is would we move over in the pew if he wanted to sit down? I'm serious. Or would we just treat him like any other man? If Jesus came in and sat down next to you, would you know it? The word of God in your face. This lady sitting next to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. It's easy for us to tell the story. We recognize it. But think about this. It would be very unusual for any Jew to be talking to any Samaritan in this situation, there in that place. That well was on a crossroad. One road went west, I think it was, to Samaria. One road went north to Galilee, and the other one went south to Jerusalem. It was kind of a crossroads, but oftentimes, according to history, the Jews would even avoid taking this route because they didn't even want to cross paths with the Samaritans. And here's Jesus sitting down at the well, and he's having a conversation in the middle of the day. But it would be even stranger for a man of this culture to be having a conversation with a woman at the well in the middle of the day. It was unacceptable. And worse yet, was a man talking to a woman in the middle of the day about a religious topic. Men did not discuss religion with women. Now, it would be really, really strange for a Jewish man to be talking to a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day in public about a religious topic. Now consider that this Jewish man talking to the Samaritan woman in the middle of the day about a religious topic is actually God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. Jesus said to this woman, in this very odd circumstance, if you only knew who you were talking to. I'm sure all she's thinking about is all of these other circumstances. And Jesus is saying, if you only knew. If you only knew tonight what Jesus wanted to do for you. If you only knew what was happening right now in the spiritual world. If you only knew that Jesus really has come into this place. And he really is sitting down right next to you. If you only knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't be worried about Jews and Samaritans. If you only knew what was happening in this place right now, you wouldn't be worried about church people and non-church people. How many times are we confronted with the truth of God's presence? And God's love, and all we can think about is our petty differences and our selfish desires. Oh, praise God. How many here felt the presence of God in this place? Maybe you're here tonight and you felt something here like you've never felt before. You don't know what it was. You don't know what to name it, but it's something very different. Think about the presence of God that we felt here tonight. Here we are in this climate-controlled building, clothed. Most of us are fed. Some of us fed too much. Sitting on padded pews, experiencing the wonderful worship and the presence of God. All around the world, people are struggling for their very existence. They're wondering if they're going to make it through the night, but we've got something here that's far beyond their wildest dreams. And maybe somebody here is unhappy because it's too warm, and someone over here is unhappy because it's too cold. And my kids didn't wash the dishes before we came to church. Somebody didn't shake my hand tonight. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in this place. Hallelujah. The interesting thing is that Jesus is not playing hide and seek. He's not trying to hide the fact that he's here. He's trying to reveal himself. He sits down next to that woman in that strange circumstance, and when no one else would expect it, and he tries to tell her, hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the King, I'm the one you've been looking for, and I'm right here, right next to you. He tried to reveal himself to her in this most unlikely circumstance, and she completely missed it. Praise God. Now I'm going to get a little literary on you. I hope you can stay with me just for a minute. I happen to like Henry V. I think it's the fifth, Henry IV, Henry V. Shakespeare play about the Battle of Agincourt. I just read a book about it, but the play is more fun. And in this play, and it's a record of history, King Henry, they called him Harry, the night before the big battle, history tells us that Henry was worried about the outcome. They were totally outnumbered. The French were up on top of the hill, and they were down at the bottom of a long field, and he was worried. And he couldn't sleep, so he got up, and he put on a cloak or a hood. Maybe he had a hoodie. I don't know what he had, but somehow he hid his identity, and he went out and he walked among the camps, walked among the men, and they did not recognize him for who he was. The king was walking among them. And it's a beautiful section of the play. where he goes from place to place and he's talking to these men and he asks them, what do you think? How are things going to go tomorrow? How are you feeling? And one after another, they tell him, well, I'm not too sure about myself. I'm a little worried how I'm going to do. I'm nervous. But our king, King Henry, Harry's the man. He's going to bring us through this. He's going to do it for us. So, man after man, Harry's going through the crowd, and little by little, he's being encouraged by these men, and they don't know that they're talking to the king. And at the same time, he's giving them an encouraging word. Oh, you know, buck up. You'll be all right. You can handle it. You're a strong man. You're a good soldier. I can tell. And by the time the whole scene is over, not only are these soldiers encouraged, but Henry himself is lifted up. His soldiers tell of their confidence in him and their fear of fighting, but being willing to fight because they have such a great leader. Praise God. You may think that this church scene is for someone else here tonight and not for you, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is going from pew to pew and person to person. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's sitting right here, right next to you, and he's trying to tell you, just like he was trying to tell the lady, it's me, I'm here, for you. If you only knew who it was that was right here next to you. Let me ask you, if you did know, if you could recognize, if Jesus walked in here and you knew it was Jesus Christ, do you think you would have faith for a miracle? Morton Bustard comes and people believe for miracles, and Morton Bustard is here. Don't get quiet. If we knew it was Jesus, if it was Paul the Apostle, you'd believe it. But Jesus is here. Do you believe if Jesus was up here holding a prayer line that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you believe you could be delivered from alcohol or drugs if Jesus was praying for you? Praise God, I felt something there. I felt something. Praise God. He made the effort to reveal himself. How many of us, after we've been born again, after God finally got a hold of us, after we finally recognized our need, how many of us can look back and see all of those times along the way when God was trying to get a hold of us, when he was trying to call us, when he was trying to deal with us? I can go all the way back to third grade and give testimony. Praise God. Jesus made his first attempt to the lady at the well, and his second attempt went like this in John 4:11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He didn't say whichever Jew, whichever Samaritan, whichever. He said, whosoever. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Second try. Jesus is trying to reveal himself. Did you see what she did? Jesus confronted her with a spiritual truth. I'm him. I'm the one. You know that the Samaritans had a belief, I forget what the word is, it's a special word. They only accepted the Pentateuch, the law of Moses, the Torah. They didn't accept the rest of the Old Testament. And they thought that Mount Gerizim, if that's how you pronounce it, was the place to worship. They had a religious difference with the Jews, and a racial difference. It was all wrapped up together. And that was their thing. And their belief system accepted the fact that the Messiah was coming, and they equated him with the prophet that Moses talked about as the one like unto Moses that was going to come. That's who they were looking for. They believed in a Messiah, and Jesus was trying to tell her, it's me. Praise God. I can't believe the number of people I talk to on a regular basis. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. And when you start talking to them, you can get a lot of really strange ideas about what God is. But there are a large number of people who really don't know Jesus who have a belief in Jesus. They don't know him, but they believe in him. This woman believed in the Messiah. Jesus confronted her with a great spiritual truth, and she deflected it. Just like a goalie, you know, just kicked it out of the way. I'm not dealing with that. She deflected it with a mundane appraisal. She looked at the thing that was right there in front of her, and she threw a religious challenge to him. Ignored the fact of what he was saying, focused on the moment, and started a religious discussion. Praise God. You ever talk to anybody like that? I'm not here tonight to argue religion with anyone. It's not my intention to compare my religion to your religion. The only thing that we want to do here tonight is to have Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, revealed in this place. Too often, when God is trying to reach us, he's trying to teach us, he's trying to help us, all we can think about, all we want to consider is how things are not the way we think they should be right at this moment. Now, it was true. He did not have anything to draw water with. It was true. Jesus was tired. He was thirsty. But that's not really what he was concerned about. So, God knows your situation tonight. He knows the difficulty you're having. He knows the fear. He knows the hurt. He knows the doubt. He knows the loss. He understands. He knows what you need. But in order for him to help you, he must be able to reveal himself to you. Praise God. He can take care of any of our circumstances in a moment. God manifest in the flesh was trying to minister to this woman's thirsty soul, and she was trying to tell him what he was doing wrong. Are you trying to convince God that he's answering your prayers in the wrong way? Are you trying to tell God how he ought to do it? It's going to be a long time before you get what you need if that's how you're going to approach God. Are you refusing to submit to the Word of God because it doesn't read the way that you were taught it? I'm talking about the Word of God right in your face. Amen. Jesus is talking to her. Hey, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is here right now. He's here. And he's going to do this his way. And it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to allow him to do it for me and for you. Amen. The Bible says there's one way. Now, the whole world doesn't believe that, but I believe it because the Bible says it. There's one way. Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, and Peter said it like this, neither is there salvation in any other name. We've got to have the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. No other name will work. no other title, no other method. The name that identifies with the perfect sacrifice that died on the cross at Calvary. The one, the sinless one, whose blood was shed. That name is Jesus. And that's the only name that will wash away my sins. His was the only blood that was sinless. The only way the apostles ever baptized was in the name of Jesus. After someone repented from their sin. I don't get to change that. Either I do it his way or it doesn't get done. The only time they considered that someone had the Holy Ghost was when they heard them speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. Now, that same Holy Spirit that the book of Acts talks about, that when they received, they spoke with other tongues, is the same Spirit that is here in this place tonight. Praise God. That's the same Jesus that we've been singing to. The same Jesus we've been worshiping. The same Jesus whose name we've been calling on in prayer. He's here right now in His Holy Spirit. And He's saying to you and to me, a questionable lifestyle, that's what she had. Strange circumstances, that's what they had. Is it strange for you? Different than what you expected? Oh yeah, it was very different for her. Different than what you're used to? I remember the first time I came in a Pentecostal church. But Jesus is saying, that's all right. Because I'm sitting right here, right next to you. Right now. And He's trying to tell us that He's here to reveal Himself. Second try. Her answer, the woman saith to Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's getting close. Now she's asking Jesus for help. At least she's asking Him. But she's still missing the point. He's not there to share a cup of water necessarily. That's just a means to the end. What He wants to do is share Himself. She's not getting it. Has God been trying to get through to you? Have you been concentrating on the thing that you want instead of the thing that you need? Praise God. I know God's dealing with somebody here tonight because He always does. That's why we're here, because God wants to touch lives and change lives and set people free and heal and deliver. You know the story about the road to Emmaus. Two of the disciples, after the crucifixion of Jesus, are walking down the road, and this stranger comes up and starts talking to them, and they enter into a conversation with him about Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, but He was crucified and buried. But what they didn't realize, though they had been disciples of His, was that He was standing right next to him walking down the road. How many times have we been in a troublesome situation, walking down the road, going about our business, thinking our own thoughts, when all along Jesus was right next to us, and all He was trying to do was reveal Himself to us? Praise God. You need to let go of whatever it is you're hanging on to tonight and open, let Jesus open your eyes and reveal Himself to you. Let the Word of God get in your face. Let it get into your mind. Let it get into your heart. Amen. So Jesus tries again. John 4:16. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Okay, she's getting closer because now she's telling the truth to Jesus. Listen, you aren't going to fool God. He knows what you've been doing. He knows what you're involved in. He knows what's got a hold of you. You're not going to fool Him. And the first thing you need to do is recognize that if you tell Him the truth, then He can do something for you. Praise God. That's what repentance is admitting to God, I'm a sinner. I've been doing wicked things. I'm a nasty person. I'm sorry, God. I don't know what else to do. I need your help. She told Him the truth. Yeah, He's not my husband. And Jesus said, For thou hast five husbands, has had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst truly. Now we're back to James 1. Remember James 1? See, what Jesus is doing is he's saying, here, look in the mirror. We come to God, we look into the Word of God, we look into the face of Jesus Christ, and the strange things happen. He shows us ourselves. The things we don't want to admit about ourselves. The things we don't want other people to know about ourselves. He shines that light right down inside. And then we're confronted with the truth. Looking in the mirror. John 1, we look in the mirror. What do you see? What are you going to do? Are you going to be the guy with morning face and just go on your way? Are you going to do something about it? See, that's what's happening here tonight. Are you being asked to look in the mirror? Is God confronting you with your own weakness, with your own sin? Praise God. Hey, anyone here who's ever been filled with the Holy Ghost knows exactly what that's like. Praise God. Everyone here who's been baptized in Jesus' name went through that process, and hopefully we're going through it every day. We have to confront ourselves in the light of the Word of God. We need to get the Word of God in our face. Praise God. That's what's happening here. God's asking you to look in the mirror, and don't just walk away, but take a good look. John 4:19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You see what happened here? She looked at Jesus. Jesus showed her herself. And suddenly, now she's getting a glimpse of who he is. Praise God. Think about that. I remember when I came to the Pentecostal church, I looked around and I thought, these people. I say this almost every time I preach, but it's for those of you who are new here. I thought, I can never be like these people. Look at me. Look at them. There was probably still a whiff of marijuana in my hair when I came into the church first time. I don't know. Jesus reveals himself to her by first revealing herself. Then she can see, hey, I need to be changed. I need some, and she looks up and there he is. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. God's revealing himself to somebody right now. You're beginning to recognize that Jesus is in your face. He's right next to you. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She wants to know, how do I get to know you? How do I get to know God? How do I understand this thing? And Jesus says, finally, we're getting somewhere. He said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You've got to forget about all of those prejudices. You've got to forget about all of those definitions in your mind and just get a hold of who Jesus is here tonight. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Praise God. God is looking for somebody that will worship him in spirit and truth. He didn't give him a label. He didn't give him a title. He didn't give him a nationality. He didn't give him a race. He's looking for somebody who's willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And what that really says is God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah is coming. She's getting closer. which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. Praise God. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Praise God. Let's stand. She gets it. Now she gets it. She forgets all about the water pot. She forgets all about Jews and Samaritans. She forgets about everything else. She runs into the village and starts telling people, the Messiah, he's out there at the well. Praise God. Before Jesus can show you he is God, you're going to have to admit that you need him. Before Jesus can show you he's God, you're going to have to admit that you're not.
All right. Ah, my God.
And you're going to have to admit that nobody else is either. There's only one God. His name is Jesus, and he's here right now. As soon as you get that, as soon as you accept that, as soon as you realize that, you will be able to surrender your need to him, and he can do great things for you. Praise God. If you believe that Jesus is here right now, if you believe that Jesus can do something for you, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come and allow him to minister to you. If you need healing, I want you to come down on this side and pray. I believe Jesus is here. Not because I'm here, but because he's here. Not because Pastor Grant is here. Not because Bishop Grant is here. Not because Brother Newbell is here, but because Jesus is here. Praise God. If you need a touch from God, something you're dealing with, you need to surrender, come right down here in the front. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've never repented from your sin, any of those things, come right down here. Praise God. Jesus.